I greet each one of you in the name of the one who gives us a reason to be thankful this morning. I want to read a couple verses to you here. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Part of that last verse is what's up here on the board behind me. And I forgot where it was found in the Bible. I wonder if any of you can tell me where that's found in the Bible.
Psalm 136:1.
Unless it's repeating something in the Psalms, it's possible. You might be right. I have 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16:34. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That might be, I believe it was by David, so it could be also in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. It's nice when we can both be right. I was just impressed here with this couple verses about how nature, when God is present, even nature has to sing out. I was not planning to share that this morning, but I saw that verse up there and I had to look at the context of that. And I was blessed by that. And we need to give glory to God, the glory that is due unto him. And we bring our gift before him. And I believe that's what you were doing this morning so far. You were bringing your gifts. And as I listened to the devotions and the Sunday school and the testimony time, I could hear you bringing your gifts to the Lord. And I was blessed by that. The title this morning is part of this verse. Now, I hope you don't get acrosticked out this morning. I was writing down Jeremy's notes that he had, his acrostic. I enjoyed that, Jeremy. I found it very interesting. I don't think we ever lapped at all, so we're good to go. 405 years ago, there was 102 people sailed from England for the shores of New England. They were escaping religious persecution, but I also found it interesting that they partially went because they were interested in evangelizing the people in this land where they were going. The natives in this new wild land that none of them had ever been at, they arrived in early winter, and they stayed on the ship and tried to set up camp, I believe in the end of December. They started setting up camp on land. But that winter, there was terrible sickness on the boat and in the camp then also. They had a very harsh time of it. And out of those 102 people, we're told that only 47 people were still living by March of the next year. So they had lost over half of their group to sickness. Also, they were in a new land. None of them had ever been here before. Everything was different. What are they going to do to provide for themselves? So they faced the danger of starvation as well. Fortunately, with the help of the Indians, they were able to find corn seed and they were able to plant. They were able to grow crops. They were able to kill plenty of wild game, which is what this land had plenty of. And by that fall of 1621, they felt like they had been very blessed. And we're told that they spent 3 days of celebration, them and 90 Indian men, spent 3 days in celebration of thankfulness. It would have been very interesting to be there. But I believe it was the hard times that they went through that made them thankful for the good times. And we heard about that this morning already. Some of your, Sunday school testimonies. It's very sad that they came to evangelize, but later on the pilgrims killed more of the Indians than they ever evangelized, than they ever converted to Christianity. But the tradition of Thanksgiving we have today is said to go back to that time of Thanksgiving. And I have 6 points as we consider thankfulness. And the first one I have is thank those who have blessed you. And I'll just write them up here. I'll just make it thank others for short. You can go to Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. I was wondering if you've ever asked someone to do something and they did it, just like you wanted them to do, but you never said thank you. Well, in family life and business life, that probably happens all the time. I know for me it has. And I know I've been in these shoes way too many times. When I ask somebody to do something, they do it. And I forget to say thank you. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We see here that these men knew that they had a need. They knew what their need was, and they were very vocal. They were speaking loudly about their need, and they knew who to ask for help. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. When a leper was cleansed, he was told to go show himself unto the priest, who would confirm his cleansing so that he could enter back into society. And so these men were asking for healing, and Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, but they still had leprosy. So why would they go? Why would they obey Jesus? Very interesting. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So we see that they had faith. They had tremendous faith. They believed in Jesus. And when they were told to go show themselves to the priest, as they were asking for healing and had not yet been healed, and then they were healed in their faith. Their examples of faith are profound. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Now remember, they were going to show themselves to the priest. We don't know how far down the road they were. I don't know how far this man had to turn back. The rest of them were doing what they were told to do, right? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So we see that he asked for help with a loud voice. And he also glorified God with a loud voice and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I believe for each of these 10 men that their faith had made them whole. We see that here in the story. We're not told. Jesus didn't specifically say it to the other 9. But I believe that each of those men had faith that brought wholeness into their lives. But that was not enough. Have you ever started out on a family trip? And before you left the driveway, you just stopped and you had a time of prayer as a family to ask God for safety on this trip. And you went on this trip, you drove all those miles, and God gave you exactly what you asked for. You came home safe, just like you asked for. You're tired. You're ready to move on to the next thing. You've done that. and you forget to ask God. You forget to thank God for doing exactly what you asked him to do. We look at these nine men and say, how could you not thank Jesus when you just transformed your life? But Jesus has transformed each one of our lives. And he has done so much that we've asked him to do. And we just forget to say thanks. Where there are not ten cleansed, where are the nine? Where is your thanks? Did Jesus not give you what you asked for? And that's the question that comes to us, just as Jesus was speaking to these men that were not even there to hear the question. But Jesus speaks that for us. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. 90% of those that were healed failed to say thank you. The story blesses me about this one who, like I said, he loudly asked for help and he also loudly thanked God for what he had been given. And we heard in Sunday school about one of the memorials that we can lay down is simply saying thank you when we're in a public restaurant getting ready to eat. And we say thank you audibly. It's so easy to just say a quiet prayer and hopefully nobody, not too many people notice you. But what if you say an audible prayer? What if you thank God loudly, audibly? Why not? He deserves it. If we're thankful to Jesus for what he has done for us, for how he has provided for us, it's going to also make us thankful for those others around us. And that's where this point goes. Thank others. Thank those who have blessed you. It goes much further than simply God. Who thanks the one who provides for his family, who works hard to provide for the needs of his family? Who thanks the cook that makes the meal? Who thanks the cleaner that swept the house and washed the floor and cleaned out the spider webs, at least the ones that didn't get missed? Who thanks the teacher that pours his life into his students? Who thanks the children when they do a good job? Who thanks the mailman, the police officer, the grocery store clerk? You could just go on and on and on with all the people that bless us in everyday life. The doctors, the nurses. Who thanks them? I do know that there's more ways to say thank you than simply saying an audible thank you. Have you ever had somebody in your life who never did anything for you? Well, you kept doing things for that person, and he never said thank you. But when you were doing something for him, you could tell there was an attitude of gratitude there in his life for what you were doing for him, and it blessed you, even though you didn't have an audible thank you. It is a reminder when we experience those times to be the one that says thank you, but we also relish in the experience of somebody that's obviously thankful for what they are receiving. And it is a real blessing. Here's a quote here by William Ward. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a gift and not giving it. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a gift and not giving it. We all have good intentions. We all know how we feel. And we say, of course we're thankful. Of course we're wrapping the gift. Of course we intend to give it. But sometimes we forget to give it. Let's say thank you. And let's mean what we say. The second point I have here is hand out God's blessings. When I wrote this note when I was studying the first time, I wrote, hand out your blessings. And I changed it to hand out God's blessings because I believe if we're going to be grateful for what we have been given, we need to realize we have been given. And we need to realize that it's God's, not mine. And when I realize that I've been given all these things by God, it makes me much more willing to hand those things out. They're God's. And these are God's people that he wants me to help. And so I hand them out. I'm not like the man who just built his barns bigger and just kept all these things to himself so that he could fare sumptuously for many years. That's not what we were supposed to do. Here's Jesus' example in Matthew 14:19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. He looked up to heaven and he blessed. Jesus knew where our food comes from. And Jesus knew where the power to multiply the little bit that we have comes from. And he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. We see here that Jesus gave thanks to the Father before he handed out the food. And after he had given thanks, that's when the food multiplied. Because if we start handing out God's blessings to other people, we never have to worry about running out. Because God has the power to multiply. If God wants us to give to others, he will give us enough to give to others. It does not depend on me. Rather, it depends on me being willing to recognize where these things come from. If God has blessed you, what are you handing out to others? It might not be silver and gold. That might not be the right thing. Maybe you don't have it like Peter and John didn't have when they were going into the temple and the beggar was sitting there and said, "I want your silver and gold." And they didn't have any. But they said, "What we have, we will give to you." Sometimes silver and gold is not the best thing to give. What else can you give? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So we do good unto all men, but we especially do good unto the brotherhood that sits on these chairs with us Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings. I believe a thankful spirit will be looking for ways to bless others. It becomes a pattern of life, a habit, looking for ways to reach out. Deuteronomy 15:11, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land." We know that there will always be poor among us. That was true back in Deuteronomy and Moses' time, and it's true today. "Therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land." He didn't just say, "Open your hand." He said, "Open it wide." The third point I have here is appreciate the hard times. You might not be one of the poor that's in the land this morning, but tomorrow you might be. We don't know that. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Today we might have plenty, tomorrow we might not have any. My mind goes to Job when I think of that. And we know that's exactly what happened to Job. One day he had more than what we could imagine. And the next day he had nothing but his wife and his life. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." After all that happened, then he fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Yes, it was in tremendous grief, and yet he was worshiping. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job recognized that the same God that gives us all those good things we enjoy also has the right to take them away from us because he's God. If he has given, he has the right to take. Maybe your hardship isn't money. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's a heavy workload. Maybe it's poor health. And the question is, can I be thankful even when times are hard? I believe, just as the pilgrims discovered, that sometimes when times are hard is when we realize what we have to be thankful for. I'm sure their thanksgiving would not have been that great if they had not gone through the terrible times that they had experienced. And so it is with us. Sometimes God needs to take from us to help us to realize what we have been given and to bring that gratitude back into our hearts. I want you to go to Genesis 45. It's at my neighbor's Bible study Thursday night. And we had studied a couple chapters here in Genesis. And I was just struck by Joseph's example. Genesis 45, verses 1 to 8. I want to just read those verses. We know what all transpired before this. How Joseph had been mistreated by his brothers, scorned by his brothers, sold into slavery by his own family. He was a slave in Egypt, and then he was falsely accused and put into prison. We don't know how long. And then we know that his imprisonment turned to glory. And then his brothers came, and as he tested them, and as he saw whether they were the same men that he had known, that had sold him into Egypt, sold him into slavery. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" We see the grief here. We see the grief mixed with joy. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They had just repeatedly said that Joseph no longer lived. They had just told Joseph in the chapters before this that Joseph no longer lived. And here Joseph was in front of them, and they were very troubled, of course. And now it was Joseph's time to get vengeance. Now it was Joseph's chance to turn the tables and to give them what they deserved. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." He wasn't glossing over the truth. "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." So we see that Joseph was able to see God's hand working, even through the mistreatment that he had experienced at the hands of his own family. And that's hard. That would be very, very, very hard. It's easy to see natural disasters or things that we have no control over, or things that others have no control over, and we suffer through them, and we see God's hand in that. But when it's other people that mistreat us, then it is very, very difficult to see God working through that. But Joseph was able to do that. He was able to be thankful even in the hard times. And he was able to forgive in spite of the hate, the slavery, the years in prison. Because he was able to see that God was able to use those experiences. Yes, they were caused by humans, but God also allowed it. And Joseph was able to see that God allowed those experiences for his own benefit, but also for the benefit of others. And as those experiences help us grow and they bring us closer to God, and that's what Joseph experienced. The next point is nurture a grateful spirit. There's a man named Norman Peale that said this: the more you practice the art of thankfulness, the more you have to be thankful for. The more that we practice being thankful, the more we realize what we have to be thankful for. We already heard this morning that gratitude doesn't come naturally. It needs to be cultivated. Now, let's say you buy a plant at the store. It's a very expensive plant, and you put it in a pot, and you set it in the corner of the house, maybe by the window where it can get light. And you intend to care for that plant, but you forget about it. And so you set that plant on the windowsill, and you forget about it. Somebody tell me, what happens to the plant?
It dies.
It dies. Gratitude is going to do the same thing if you forget about it. Just as that plant does not have water, maybe the bugs get to it and nobody's there to care. Whatever it is, well, the water's going to kill it before the lack of water is going to kill it before the bugs do. If we don't cultivate something, maybe you just plant your garden in the spring and just totally forget about it, and the weeds take over, and there'll probably be some fruit there, but nothing like it could be because you didn't cultivate it. You didn't care for it. You weren't there maintaining it. And so it goes with thankfulness. If you don't nurture your gratitude will die. It's simply a matter of fact. And we need to make sure that we are there cultivating, remembering things that to be thankful for. And that goes to the next one here: know what you have been given. So next point. These two thoughts go together somewhat, but it is true that nothing will brighten our day more than counting our blessings. We can get so down when we think about everything that's wrong. We can get so down when we think about how everybody's treating us not fairly, and all those things that can just darken the windows in our mind. But if we start counting our blessings, if we start realizing everything that we have been given that we do not even deserve, our situation doesn't change. We're still in the same predicament, if we're in one. We're still in the exact same house, in the exact same environment, in the exact same circumstances. Nothing changed, right? On the outside. But inside it does. Because thinking about how we have been blessed, how much we are given, changes our attitude. It changes what's inside. It opens the blinds and lets the sunlight into our minds. God created this marvelous world that we call home, and he created each one of us in a marvelous way. Jesus gave his own life for us. He didn't just die for us. He also sent his Holy Spirit to guide and comfort us. And it says he's even interceding for us in heaven today. He didn't go back to heaven and forget about us. He very much cares about us. Your parents worked hard to provide and care for you. They gave of themselves to give you an opportunity in this world. Your children often bless you in return. They make life fulfilling and give you a reason to live. Have to think about those couples that choose to be childless, and they bring in the pets to take the place of the children. And we know that those pets are not going to be there to love and care for them in their old age. We know that. And they're very lonely people in their old age because they invested in their pets instead of their children. Your church brothers and sisters care about you. They help to bear your burdens. They're there for us. They care about us. We're here for each other. Your boss gives you work. Your employees keep you in business. Your coworkers help to get the job done. And the list is just starting. There's so many people that give us something every day. Know what you have been given. Last year, I have sing psalms. And I want you to turn to Psalm 100. We know that Psalms are full of thanksgiving. They're also full of real experiences, hard times. It is true that when you count your blessings, you may very well break out in song. It's a natural reaction to being thankful. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He's not saying you have to be a professional singer. Just make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So we see here is an exhortation to praise the Lord. It says, I don't have here who write this psalm. But we see here somebody that recognized what they had been given, and their hearts were welling up in thanksgiving. And they were admonishing the reader who would sing this psalm, admonishing the singer. These psalms were sang. He said, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. We talked a little bit in Sunday school about being yoked, our Sunday school verse. We're in service. It's work. But it's so much more enjoyable if we do it with gladness and thanksgiving. Enter into his gates. It's a choice. We choose to do it. We're entering in with thanksgiving into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, it's not just the Old Testament. The New Testament tells us to do this as well. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Verse 5 of Psalm 100. We know that the Lord is good. What are we going to do about it? That's what we get there in verses 2 and 4. When we realize the goodness of the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 95. One page back, perhaps. And I want you to pay attention in this psalm. What happens when we forget to count our blessings? Psalm 95. I'm going to read the whole psalm. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Here's another call to let us sing unto the Lord. There in 1 Chronicles, it was talking about the trees breaking forth in song. But surely, if something, the wooden trees can break forth in song, surely we also can break forth in song. But let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his land. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. This psalm starts out so beautiful. An encouragement to sing and to praise and for thankfulness. And then it ends on a dark note. Because it's talking about a group of people, and we know who it's talking about. It's those people that saw miracle after miracle. They saw the miracle every morning when the manna came down from heaven, and they got calloused to Jesus' miracles, just like we tend to forget. We tend to get calloused to the goodness of God, what he has done in our lives. He says they hardened their hearts. It implies that because they didn't hear his voice. He says they saw his work. And he was grieved with them. He said, it is a people that have not known my ways. How could they not know his ways when they saw his ways every day? They saw how he had brought them out of Egypt, how he had parted the water, delivered them from the Egyptians. How did they not know his ways? Because they hardened their hearts. They chose to stop counting what they had been given. And they chose to start counting what they did no longer had and what they wanted. We have a choice. Are we going to count that which we wish we had? Or are we going to start counting that which we do have? It is a choice that we face every day. I found it very interesting in verse 11. It says, unto whom I swear my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. If we choose to only count that which we wish we had, and we choose to not be thankful for what God has given to us, we are not going to get what we want. We will lose the very blessings that we wish we had, and the ones that we took for granted and forgot that we did have. These verses here, verse 6 and 7, verse 6 especially, O come. So we think about gratitude this week. So we think about thankful hearts. We can easily get stressed in preparing for a time of thanksgiving and forget thankfulness. We can easily forget after Thanksgiving is over as people rush to the store to get on to the next thing and forget to be thankful. And then January, February, the winter blues, and we forget to be thankful. Thanksgiving is not just a one-week time. You know that. It's not a single day. It's a year. It's 365 days a year where we make the choice to count our blessings, to count what we have been given. And what happens? We come and worship, and we bow down. He says, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And that's what I want to do. Let's come to the Lord in a kneeling prayer.